listening to 95BFM. This is the sound of Australian group The Sweetenoughs, which is sort of lovely, exotica, dream poppy sort of stuff, off of their album Marshmallow, released in 2020. The Sweetenoughs are fronted by Paul Bender, who is the bass player for Hiatus Coyote, a band also from Australia. And Paul's been appearing a lot on my socials feed recently. Unfortunately, not because of new music, though. He's been very vocal about how the Sweetenoughs have had their streaming profiles sort of hijacked by these AI-generated songs that have just begun popping up again and again on their profiles. And it's caused me to have a bit of a deep dive into this phenomena of why established artists seem to have AI music popping up willy-nilly with not much that they can really do about it. Paul's sort of begun a bit of a tireless social media campaign calling on distributors and streaming platforms to implement better protections for artists. But yeah, it's prompted me to put together a little bit of a package for you all about the artists this is happening to and the industry professionals that have things to say about it. So we're going to listen to my corridor with Paul first.
Well, a couple of months ago, checking the Spotify profile of the Sweetenoughs, I noticed there was a new song on there that wasn't anything to do with us, and I was like, this is really weird, and it was insanely bad. Like, it was the most amateurish, just wretched thing I'd ever heard, like, comically so. I'm like, really quite perplexed by it, so I got in touch with management and the head of the label Wondercore Island, who puts out the Sweetenoughs, and it took about 6 weeks for that one to come down. And then as soon as that one came down, another one popped up, like, very, very soon after the first one was removed. I'm like, this is really weird. Like, it was very different from the other one. Yeah, we got the second one taken down again. It took ages. And then after the second one came down, there was a third one popped up, and we could see in the Spotify for Artists app, oh, there's like literally a fourth one queued up. It's in our upcoming releases tab in the Spotify app, which, by the way, you can see what's upcoming, but there's nothing to click to make it not come out, and there's no button to even like report it or anything. It's just, you can just see it, and then you just can't do anything about it. All these tracks were on, I'm not even sure if all of them, but a lot of other streaming profiles, like Apple Music and Tidal and YouTube Music. I thought, well, I'm going to see what is the deal with this phenomenon. I did some reading online and saw that this is actually happening to a lot of people. The crucial thing that I need like everybody to understand is that to upload music to an existing streaming profile on all the streaming platforms, there is zero authentication process. So this is a thing that is across the entire streaming ecosystem. There's literally an honor-based system for a $30 billion industry.
Were you surprised the sheer amount of people who came out and said, yeah, this has happened to me, or I know someone who this has happened to?
Once I discovered that this is how the actual system is set up, I'm not really surprised by how many people it's happened to. I think the thing that's surprising to me is that this situation had not been resolved earlier, and that it was even allowed to be set up in this manner in the first place.
There must be a part of you that, as a musician who sort of has built enough of a following now, sort of wants to just boycott stream DSPs altogether and just turn to Bandcamp and physical media and just sort of say, nah, fuck it, I'm not engaging in this anymore.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, the reality is we all have to be kind of pragmatic about this. You know, these streaming platforms, you know, really represent the majority of the way that people are listening to and discovering music. This whole thing isn't really about like, oh, just streaming as a concept is inherently bad, and it's not even about AI as a whole concept is inherently bad on every level. It's just like the way that these things are kind of coalescing at the moment is making a very unfavorable situation for musicians.
Artists just want to art, but unfortunately there's a fair bit of bullshit to wade through, isn't there?
I mean, honestly, I would love to just like hang out in my lounge room and just be practicing cello right now. But I think, you know.
But instead, you got to hold. You got to stick it to the man.
Instead, I'm trying to take on the entire streaming industry.
That was Paul Bender talking to me about his experience with the Sweet Enoughs and AI music hijacking their Spotify profiles. In case you're wondering, this has happened to New Zealand artists as well. LMNOP had this happen last year. They haven't actually released any music in, I want to say, about 13 or 14 years. But an AI-generated song popped up on their Spotify last year. So I had a chat with Dave Gibson about how this happened to them and his concerns on the matter.
A song just got distributed via, you know, our name that obviously wasn't us. And, you know, by all accounts, it seems to be an AI-generated song. Not at all an LMNOP song. But, yeah, it was just a surprise and slightly disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's sort of lucky in a way that it sounded so obviously AI-generated and not like an LMNOP song.
Yeah, because you can imagine a situation where an artist that, say, hasn't been active, you know, for a while, you know, hasn't looked at their Spotify profile for a number of years, you know, you can imagine a scenario where that just sneaks in there and just sits on their page for a long time, you know, especially if it's a song that sounds really similar in the genre. But yeah, I guess it's a case of the DSPs needing to find a bit of verification system because it seems pretty easy at the moment to claim that you're an artist and, you know, put it through your distributor and just say, yeah, that's definitely me. It shouldn't be that easy. I mean, we're lucky, you know, we're in a lucky situation because, you know, we have the backing of a major record label, so we can just go to Universal, who's our label, and ask them to deal with it. So then, because they've got sway, they can deal with those type of things a lot quicker and get to a real human, which is a lot harder to do if you're an indie band on an indie label, or even harder if you're just, you know, a DIY distribution, like doing a distribution through DistroKid or something like that, because all those platforms, as awesome as they are, it's very hard to reach a real person when something goes wrong. The thing that worries me the most is just who gets paid. And, you know, currently the way that, you know, people like Spotify pay royalties out, it's based on the, you know, it's proportional, you know. So you can you imagine if there's like just millions of AI generated songs on Spotify, right? Even if they're getting played only once or twice, you know, proportionately speaking, the human music that takes time to make and that takes human energy and effort will become smaller and smaller proportion. So that's the thing that I think is the most scariest thing, is the, you know, people like Spotify figuring out a way to A, make sure that AI music doesn't get paid out at a royalty at the same rate as real human music, and or get separated from the pool of funds that's allocated to artists.
That was Dave Gibson of LMNOP speaking with me about AI tracks appearing on artists' Spotify profiles. Now, this is an issue that has been talked about in the New Zealand music industry by industry professionals. APRA AMCOS put out a survey to its members last year and then published a report on its findings around how AI is being used by artists and which artists are concerned about the rise of AI in music. And Recorded Music New Zealand joined APRA in a joint call for action from the government regarding regulations surrounding AI. So I had a catch up with Recorded Music NZ CEO Joe Oliver to talk a little bit about what she thinks we should be doing to protect our artists from AI music. And I began by asking her a little bit about this report that was published last year and its findings.
You know, as you can probably imagine, there were sort of the two sides to it. You know, embracing AI, many songwriters and artists already using it as part of the creative process. So 38% of people said they'd already used AI in the creative process, and over half agreed that AI tech can assist the human creative process. But then, of course, there was the dark side of AI, which we're all aware of. So over 80% of music creators concerned that the use of AI in music could lead to them no longer being able to make a living from their work.
Am I right in thinking that there's currently no default sort of rule around who owns the copyright for AI-generated content in Aotearoa?
It is a breach of copyright for an AI company to take music without permission and use it for training. And in terms of ownership, again, you know, no issue if you're an artist using an AI tool. Clearly, your input is original, and that means that you own copyright in the work. There's a slightly confusing provision in the Act, which has never really been tested, around purely computer-generated works. Which is maybe not ideal. A lot of the issues that have been experienced and being reported on by artists are sort of outside of copyright even. So we're talking about straight fraud. You know, fraud around streaming is not a new issue. There's, for many years now, there have been services that will sell fake streams that you know, work by using bots or cheap human labour to artificially inflate the number of plays or streams. But the advent of AI just kind of makes it that much easier for bad actors really to create huge volumes of material that has the appearance of being genuine, and then to upload them across a really broad range of artist profiles. This is an environment where, although laws may be broken, it's all about how easy it is to enforce.
And so last year, following this report from APRA, Recorded Music New Zealand and APRA both called on the New Zealand government to regulate AI. Has there been any response from the government?
So for us, the first step is getting some requirement for transparency. That's a regulation that was put into place in the EU quite recently and requires AI companies to keep those records. There's also been some movement in Australia around mandatory guardrails, they call them, for AI companies. Now, we haven't had a direct response from New Zealand government on our call to action. We do know they're working away on various initiatives related to AI. So earlier this year, there were guidelines released for the responsible use of AI in the public service. But yeah, important really that we are not left behind while others are looking into this and putting regulations in place. And really, you know, some of the advocacy that artists are doing is really valuable, because it helps to shine a spotlight on the issue.
That was Recorded Music New Zealand CEO Jo Oliver speaking with me a little bit about the report that APRA published last year on the use of AI in music and the impacts that AI is having across the New Zealand music industry. I then sort of wanted to look a little bit deeper into not just the impact that AI music is having on pre-existing issues of streaming fraud, but what the future of AI music on streaming looks like, as dire as that might be. And so I decided to have a chat with Dr. Fabio Morrell, who is a former music researcher at the University of Auckland and is now an AI music researcher for Sony Music. We spoke a little bit about the issues faced by Paul Bender and LMNOP, but also where things could be heading next and what needs to be done to better protect artists.
We have to think, even like before even starting to think if there are some, like, what are the regulations, we have to think, do they actually care about flagging whether when a content is generated with AI or not? And we have to remember that Spotify is not profitable. Streaming services don't work with artists, they work with distributors. Is it their benefit of showing if a song is generated with AI or not? What advantage do they have of showing, other than PR? But on the other side, if they can hide AI generated content within, especially within what they recommend to the user, and that goes back to the recommendation system, is extremely profitable for Spotify. Because they can stop basically paying royalty or pay much less royalties to real artists. The other thing is if it is technically possible. And there are a lot of startups. There's so much money that's being thrown now. These AI companies that promise that they can identify songs generated with Suno and Willio, that are the biggest, you know, like AI music generator companies. And again, what? Do they, would Spotify trust these, you know, third-party companies to do some sort of detection when a distributor uploads this, the catalog on Spotify? Spotify itself has a lot of music generation, AI music generation researchers that are in-house Spotify researchers. And I know that because I see them at the conferences I go to. So it's not that it's a secret. They even hired people, they were like job opening in AI music generation, Spotify, right? So it's a simple joining the dots exercise here to find a little, you know, like, they have motivation to do it, they have people able to do it. So they might have in-house researchers that generate music that end up being in the Spotify catalog that is not actually linked to any real artist. So the concerns of the artists are absolutely legitimate. They, like anyone else that is concerned about their music being trained to, sorry, that their data being trained to generate any sort of AI content, from videos to text to images, right? So we are talking about, it's the same problem.
Beyond the technical regulations that could come into play with AI, streaming fraud isn't necessarily a new thing. So shouldn't we be looking to implement better verification processes in order to protect artists' identities and profiles from the sort of hijacking that we've seen taking place?
Artists, impersonification can be addressed technically, for sure. Yeah, with some sort of verification, some sort of, you know, like cryptographic method. Often when you have a new technology of some sort of disruption, concerns are still connected to our ways in which we perceive or intended the status quo before this technology arrived. So we're still trying to, I know, put patches in places where we were expecting possible issues like artist impersonification. But I think the problems are going to be different. And at one point, bad actors will stop trying to impersonate artists, or will see it's not worthy anymore, because still they will reach listeners. The engagement with artists and genres has been massively reduced by streaming platforms. So that means that it's kind of creating the conditions for the uptake of AI-generated music. For sure, though, a lot of protests from musicians and listeners, at least in a fair treatment of data, would be desirable.
That was Fabio Morial, a researcher in music and AI working for Sony Music. Previously worked for the University of Auckland as a music researcher and lecturer. Talking to me about just how we're going to navigate this new frontier of AI that is increasingly taking over the way we consume music via streaming. Thank you to everyone who talked with me for this package. I loved having a corridor with all of you, despite the dire subject matter. We heard from Paul Bender from The Sweet Enoughs, Dave Gibson from LMNOP, Joe Oliver, CEO of Recorded Music New Zealand, and of course Dr. Fabio Morial. Keep fighting the good fight out there by going to gigs and buying merch and buying music via Bandcamp, because yeah, it's becoming harder to support our artists via streaming. Harder than it already was, which was already pretty hard. We're gonna listen to the rest of this song from The Sweet Enoughs. This is Truman.